I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You heard the man, Mike Max. If I could be like Mike, I hear it all the time walking down the street. Men want to be like him, women want to be with him. I'm not sure it's the same Mike, but you know what I'm saying. Sports to the Max coming your way. Got a big show planned for you, taking up to Twins baseball. Gene Glynn will join us, former third base coach for the Minnesota Twins and beyond, great Waseca native. The amazing Dixie from downtown will join us. He works security downtown. What's really happening down here and in St. Paul, he'll tell us. Chris Wright, of soccer fame that worked at the Timberwolves for many, many years, but was a professional soccer player at one time and then was the president of the Minnesota United, is going to give us some perspective on what this MLS All-Star Game means and how the game has grown and what he sees here on the eve of the big All-Star Game at Allianz Stadium. It's not Team USA, it's just MLS against Team Mexico. And they've been practicing Team Mexico over in Eden Prairie at the Lifetime facility there known as Game Face. I've gone out there several times to do stories, see people. It's an interesting place they train. And then the MLS team up in Blaine. So we'll talk about that and all of the above. And then Al Nunes will join us shortly to talk about the life and times of Clyde Turner. Clyde Turner was an interesting guy. He came to Minnesota to play basketball for Bill Musselman. And he was their leading scorer in 71-72. They had this, I mean, these athletes they had were really, I mean, it was something. Clyde Turner was leading scorer. They didn't have Ron Behagen yet, but they had Jim Brewer, or maybe Behagen was hurt for part of it. I don't know. Brewer and Behagen were both first-round picks, and they had another guy in that team by the name of Dave Winfield that could play some D and beyond. And then Clyde Turner came, and he was the leading scorer. And he stayed here in Minnesota. And 50 years later, he is still, you know, he made such an impact on things that maybe you didn't see. And I can remember visiting Clyde in Annandale. He on Lake Sylvia, he used to have a basketball camp. He had a basketball camp at Lake Sylvia, and it was for inner city kids to come out there and play and get away from the inner city. And to me, that will be his signature. That will be his defining moment. What he did by staying here and the way he impacted inner city kids. Al Nunes came right before him from the same part of the country and remained close to him. And a few weeks ago, privately, I knew all about this, but they wanted to keep it quiet. The 1972 team came in and paid their respects to Clyde, and they spent time with him. He was in hospice. It was not a great situation here medically over the last year or so. And they went out and hung out with Clyde and revisited some of their great memories from Williams Arena and beyond. And Clyde was such a big part of that. But they did it quietly and privately and respectful to Clyde. Because I said, yeah, I'll do it. Somebody called me. I said, I'll do a story on that. Sure. They're going to go look at Williams Arena and stuff like that. And they said, no, don't want any media involved in this one. And now I know why. You know, no, it's pretty obvious. But he embraced what was important in this city. And he never gave up that hope. That long before... You know, now it's vogue over the last couple of years since George Floyd to talk about inner city and how people are getting involved and doing all this and that. This was back in the 80s that Clyde was doing this, trying to connect to kids in the inner city, trying to give them hope, trying to give them a basketball court, trying to give them a shot at their dream, trying to make them believe that they could. All the things that people kind of jumped on after George Floyd, there were several people like him in place that were already doing things like that. And I got to tell you, he did it like nobody else. And we'll remember his life because he was a special guy. We also got Twins tickets to give away. Twins and Dodgers tonight. Joe Ryan on the mound for the Twins. I talked to Joe after the last outing. He had three outings, two really good ones against Detroit, and in between he got lit up by San Diego. And it was interesting when I talked to him because he said, you know, this is where, and I don't think of it this way, he says, this is where analytics help your confidence. He said, because if what you saw against San Diego was me getting beat up. But when you broke it down and you looked at it and you understood what the intent was, the scouting report, how we were trying to pitch player and what happened and didn't happen, he said it wasn't nearly as disastrous as it looked in the box score. Just like sometimes it's not nearly as good as it looks in the box score. You put zeros up, but you don't have your good stuff. And he says what analytics does for you is it allows you to have a bad outing like that, go back to it, say, okay, why? Did I miss by 3 inches here? Did I miss by 4 inches? Whatever it is. And it allows you to restore your confidence in some cases because you realize that it was just a few pitches. And if you look at how you cut the zone and all those things, it was just a few pitches that cost you. And he said the analytics actually helped me get out of that funk and that loss to San Diego and move on quickly because I realized I didn't miss by much. I didn't have my bad stuff. I also asked him this question. I said, do you know when you have your good stuff? And this is a really interesting question for people that have pitched. Do you know when you have your good stuff when you're in the bullpen? And I don't know that I've ever talked to a pitcher that says that they can remember times when they had their good stuff in the bullpen and it didn't convert once they got in the field. And they can remember when they just didn't feel good, they just didn't have it, they didn't have the sharp break, and they went out and pitched some of the best baseball of their life. And he said, I gave up on that a long time ago. If I don't have my good stuff, it doesn't translate into what happens on the mound and vice versa. And I think that's true of most pitchers. They go, I just can't find it today. And then somehow they find enough of it when they get in the game. And Ryan is starting to experience that. But he's a cool-hand dude, man. He just likes to have the ball in his hand and go out and pitch. And he's got a little moxie to him. He's got a little something, a little attitude, a little thing that I think you'd like to play with him because he's going to go after hitters. And I don't think he'd be afraid to take somebody out. If they said, hey, Joe, you got to go knock that guy down, I don't think he'd question it. I think he'd just do it. And in baseball, that's one of those unwritten rules, you know, to play the game. Once in a while, you got to knock somebody down. Anyway, when we come back, we'll remember the life of Clyde Turner with Al Nunes, his good friend. And much more. It's Sports to the Max. Twins tickets, we'll give them away this hour, next hour. We just want you to go to the game, have some fun, enjoy Target Field, cheer the Twins on, or even if it's the visiting team, you don't have to tell us that you want to get tickets for. All we want is to allow you that opportunity because that's what we do here at WCCO, and the reason we do it is we care so much about you. We care so much about you, your children, your cousins, even your Aunt Mildred. We care so much about you, and for us to be able to facilitate maybe just one night out means the world to us. But stay with us or you can't win. Stay, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830, WCCO. Welcome back. One of the things that we do well here at WCCO is celebrate Minnesota and the legacies that go with it. For those people that were involved in Gopher basketball back in the 60s and 70s, the name Clyde Turner stands out because it was a whole new era that Bill Musselman brought to Williams Arena. And it was a whole new energy and a whole new crowd. And they'd sell out, and Clyde was in the middle of it, their leading scorer. And then he stayed here, and he became a valued member of this community for many, many years. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline is Al Nunes, and Al goes way back. Way back with Clyde Turner as they took similar routes to the University of Minnesota. Al, I know that, you know, we all know Clyde's been struggling for a long time, but it's still tough when you get that news. He passed away at 4:10 this morning, I understand, correct?
Yes, he did, and I tell you, Maxie, it's been a tough day for me because Clyde was kind of like a little brother.
Yeah, that's what I always thought of with you two. You guys took the same path almost here, didn't you?
Yeah, well, and you know, a lot of people forget the fact that, see, I started recruiting Clyde. Clyde played against Jim Brewer in high school for the state tournament. They were in the state tournament against each other. So I was instrumental in getting Jim to come to Minnesota. And I followed up with Clyde when he went to junior college. And when I left the university, already in the recruiting, because he wanted to come play with Jim Brewer.
So he comes to Minnesota, and at that time, can you put into what happened? What was the transformative? What was the key? People talk about the pregame show and the this and the that. What was the elixir there that everybody got so excited so quickly?
Well, you know, I think.
You know what, Al? We're going to call you back. Hang up your phone, and we'll call you back because we're having a tough time connecting. So just hang it up, and we'll call you right back because it sounded like it's not going to get much better there. But I'll fill in some of the blanks. Clyde came here, and Bill Musselman was this young coach, and Al will speak more to it, and I want to allow him that time and space because he knows the story better than I do. But all of a sudden, they had a brand of basketball that they hadn't seen for some time there. And they were beating the big boys, and they were playing with the big boys, and they had this group of kind of your 5-star recruits, you know, guys like Behagen and Brewer and guys like that, and to an extent Clyde Turner, and then you had a kid like Dave Winfield, who they found at the playing intramural basketball, and Bill Musselman went and got him because he saw how athletic he was, and they had some people like that. They had the Iron Five. They had all these things going on. And Clyde was in the middle of it, but it was the revitalization of Gopher basketball. Al, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You cut out there for a while. Fill in the blanks of how this took off about the time Clyde and Jim Brewer were there, and it took Minnesota basketball to a whole different level.
Well, you know, that was in a big changeover between when George Hanson was leaving. You know, I was an assistant coach there, and I had done all the recruiting up until that time, and when Hanson resigned and Musselman was hired, you know, I had already done all the recruiting of Clyde Turner to come to Minnesota. As a matter of fact, I went to the Junior College National Tournament and saw Ron Behagen play too.
Oh, you got on Behagen was a junior college kid too.
Yes, yes. I brought all those guys back. I brought Ron's name back to Musselman before I left and went over to Central High School. Clyde Turner was already locked and loaded, and I told him that about Ron Behagen, that he was there because I watched him in the National Junior College Tournament. So they end up all those guys coming there, and I think the thing that was so exciting that Musselman brought along was his warm-up, his Sweet Georgia Brown warm-up. And you got all these 6'9 guys out there handling the ball and dribbling the ball. I mean, think about it. You got Jim Brewer at 6'9". You got Clyde Turner at 6'8". You got Corky Taylor at 6'9". You got Ron Behagen at 6'9". You got all these guys out there. And not only could they handle the ball, but they could play.
They could play.
They could play. I'm telling you, in my opinion, there's only one team in Minnesota history that I think even comes close to challenging that team as being the greatest team put together was the one with Michael Thompson and those guys.
Yep.
And they
Ray
were
Williams, that group,
to play. Ray Williams, that's the only team I think even comes close. People forget about another great player they had with Clyde Turner, Nix was there.
Yeah, he was pretty good, huh?
Nix was really good. Nix was good, but so was Bob Murphy. Mm-hmm. And see, people also forget about Dave Winfield. Dave Winfield played on that team.
Yeah. And was he kind of a power forward or a guard?
He played small forward. He played small forward on that team. You know, Corky didn't start on that team. Dave Winfield started. And I tell you, the guy that really stirred the drink for that matchup defense was Keith Young.
Keith Young.
People forget about Keith Young. Keith Young, you know, he left after that year and transferred out to a school in California. But that was a great team. Keith Young was 6'5". So you had 6'5".
Wow.
Think about that starting lineup. They had. That's why that zone was so tough.
6'5" to 6'10", their arms everywhere, huh?
Oh, all around, and they were quick, and they could move.
Al Nunes is our guest.
And the other thing is, people forget that not Jim Brewer, but Clyde was a leading scorer on that
team. And that was without the three-point line there. He'd added some, right, because he had the soft touch.
Exactly right.
Clyde did his best work, though, after basketball. He stayed in Minnesota. I remember visiting him in Annandale, Lake Sylvia, when he had that camp out there for the inner-city kids. Explain what Clyde Turner did for this state when he left the University of Minnesota.
Clyde Turner, listen, this guy is Mr. Youth for Minnesota, inner-city Minnesota. You know, for years, he worked with Hennepin County dealing with foster care kids.
Yep.
For years he did that. Also for years, and I was talking to the journal.
Go ahead. We got you, I think.
Gosh. Hello?
Yep, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I said I was talking to Brent McNeil this morning.
Edison, yeah.
And Brent McNeil said Clyde Turner's camp was the first camp he ever went to, and
really?
He didn't have to pay. And so, you know, if you think of that camp that Clyde put on existed for over 30 years.
Yep. Yep, it was a staple.
He did that camp. Yes, it was. For kids, poor kids that couldn't go to camp, Clyde had a camp for them. He started out with boys, ended up with boys and girls camps.
Yep.
And then didn't charge a dime for it.
Didn't charge a dime, and that was his goal, right? To make sure they didn't have to worry about money.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Oh.
Tremendous community person. Community person. He was the only one of those guys that stayed around. I mean, that made Minnesota his home.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Everybody else left. Yeah, and they came back a few weeks ago, as I understand it. They had kind of a private bedside chat as best they could with Clyde, I understand.
Yes, and I tell you, that was beautiful. That was so beautiful for those guys to go over to T.J. Hoyt's. Dave Winfield came back in town. Jim Brewer was there. Bob Murphy. I mean, all these guys that played with him, Tom Masterson, all these guys came back in town, and it was just a beautiful thing to see.
And they did it without fanfare. They didn't want anybody to know. They just kind of quietly came into town, right?
No, they didn't. They quietly came into town. They did tell the university that they were coming in. They they played golf over at the university golf course, and Ben Johnson was great in hosting the guys to see the new facility. I mean, it was just great. They were awed. They couldn't believe it.
Well, Al, appreciate it very much. Thanks for giving us some perspective on a life well lived by quite a man for people that knew him, Clyde Turner. So thank you for enlightening us and those people that maybe had forgotten about him a little bit. It was quite a life.
I appreciate your time spending with him, too, also. Take care.
Al Nunes, nice enough to join us. Clyde Turner, remember the life of Clyde Turner. He did it for the right reasons, and there wasn't a lot of fanfare about it. He just would go out and raise the money, and they'd find a way to get these kids to camp, and that's what made him so special. Gene Glenn, formerly on the Twins coaching staff, will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Now, if you want to go watch the Twins play, we're going to give away. We got our Twins ticket giveaway today, sponsored by Miller Marine of St. Cloud. And if you want to go to the game against Kansas City, coming up next Monday. It's the Twins' annual Diversity Day at Target Field. The first 10,000 fans receive a Twins Legacy T-shirt presented by Treasure Island Resort and Casino in Prairie Island Indian Community. We will get you set up. But you're going to have – it's a four-pack, and you're going to have to be listening because at some point in time, I'm going to ask you to call in. And when you do, you better be ready. You better get on the phone quick. And if you're the fourth caller, we'll give you the four-pack of tickets. That's the way we roll. But you'll get to see the Twins and Kansas City. I mean, the forecast looks good right now. Who knows what they might be playing for after this week. It's going to be an interesting week for them. Twins and Dodgers tonight, we'll bring you that as well, because we're all Twins. We are the Twin Station. We are News Talk 830 WCCO, 8:30 the pregame, 9 o'clock the first pitch. Maybe Rocco could tell us in the pregame if he has to pay a fine or a suspension or whatever came down. We'll have it all for you right here on WCCO. Stay with us.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.